The Big Red Couch, a podcast about making role-playing games.
Hello, listener, and welcome to a bonus episode of The Big Red Couch. Today we've got a couple of letters from The Big Red Couch foreign correspondent Taz, so we thought we'd read them and see whether they sparked any genius in us. We have two of them. There's one of them for Space Wreck Exploration and one of them for Goblin Paradise.
Ooh, cool.
Okay, should we say Goblin Paradise for last, just based on the... Ooh, cool.
just to make you wait a little bit longer.
Indeed, yes. Shall I read it, or...?
Sure.
All right.
Since you're in a voluntary mood.
Apparently. This is Taz's idea. The PCs are all part of the crew of a ship that is part salvage operation and part first responder. Speed is essential, since the first team on site has claims to salvage in the event that it is not a rescue operation. This isn't salvage in the sense of open seas, owner takes all. It's more about claiming the ship for the insurance companies and getting a finder's fee. After all, a spaceship is a sizable investment. Which, of course, means that piracy has a profit motive as well.
So it was dead in the water when we found it, officer. Where's that finder's fee? Okay, yeah.
So you have a setting that's part medical drama, space wreck exploration, and anti-piracy, claim jumper, action. Add in all the human drama that comes bundled with people in dire situations. After a couple of missions to set the norm, throw in some corporate espionage, perhaps a first contact scenario, or something wacky like space zombies. Woo!
Or indeed a crew who've seen Die Hard one too many times.
Oh, that'd be bad. Some setting assumptions. The players are probably based out of some station that has an extensive medical capacity. Their ship is small and fast with some medical capacity itself. Think space ambulance, but with a few guns just in case. Space travel is commonplace enough that an ambulance service is a functional business model.
Mm-hmm.
Space is still dangerous enough that rescue operations are commonplace and there might be some competition. Travel times are short enough that a small craft can get to a distress signal and there's still a chance of rescue. Perhaps there's an inverse mass law tied to the interplanetary or FTL drive. The PC ship might be 90% engine so that it can act as a tugboat as well as an interceptor.
Nice.
Indeed.
That is a cool idea. In case you've got plot seeds hanging off it everywhere, you could do something like planets, but with...
a slightly wider balloon.
Yeah.
So that you're...
Probably slightly more respect than it's in terms of the job, but basically you're out there rescuing people and dealing with problems.
Space EMTs.
And there was a thing I saw since we recorded the Space Wreck Exploration that I think would be an interesting fit for it. There's a anime from 95 movie called Memories from Katsuhiro Otomo, the same guy who did the comic, I think at least some of the film, for Akira.
Oh.
And it's three short stories kind of stuck together in a film, and the first one's called Magnetic Rose, and it is about a crew of deep space salvage people who get an SOS and go and explore a space Sargasso ships.
Oh.
And then things get weird.
Interesting. That really does cross over with a lot of things we've been talking about.
Lots of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like there's a lot of action-orientated possibilities, lots of dramatic rescues, and lots of different, it's not really enclosed sort of scenario, so you can have all sorts of things.
Does feel campaign-esque.
Yeah. And there may be some greater plot that they can uncover doing their worthy job, and they're the right people at the right time to do something about it.
I'm wondering whether there's some hay to be made off giving the players the choice of whether or not to turn pirate at some point.
Oh.
Of, okay, you're making all of these bounties, as it were. Things are getting safer out here. It's drying up. Do you want your job to go away?
Or
change in some way?
Or maybe the moral conflict of you get a distress beacon from a ship that's no longer on the books.
Oh, interesting.
So, what?
Like the oldie-timey fire service of you haven't paid for this, so we're going to let your house burn down.
No, maybe that it's not on the books because it was taken off because they thought the ship was lost.
Oh, nice.
It's a pirate, and you're supposed to rescue them, but you won't get any...
Bounty?
You won't get any bounty from the companies for it. Is it a trap? If they were doing a trap, wouldn't they use a licensed ship? What's going on? So lots of... There could be good intrigue in there and good head messing.
Hell, has anybody on board your vessel ever seen that classic science fiction, oldie-timey science fiction film, Event Horizon?
No.
Ah, the dimension of barbed wire and Clive Barker. We know it well.
Yes, a dimension of pure chaos, barbed wire and Latin.
Only movie I've ever walked out of because I felt physically ill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It was the wall of blood. I don't normally have a problem with blood, but apparently that day I did.
Hmm.
For me, it was Star Wars.
That you walked out on because of the blood and the...
Well, no, but I left because I felt physically ill. But to be fair, I was on day release from hospital at the time.
Which Star Wars? Right.
Star Wars A New Hope.
Okay.
Ah.
There are bits that could make you a bit giddy in that, that's true.
I know I got up to the escape from the Death Star, so I got most of the way through the film. Day release wasn't as well as I thought I was.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about the planets option. Because what that made me think of was a book which I have just looked up on my cinema phone.
Honest lab.
1962 science fiction book by James White called Hospital Station.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh.
Which was basically stories set on and around a space hospital.
Hmm.
Now read on.
Yeah.
Hmm. It makes good sense. Sort of be a base or base of operations or somewhere you go frequently to take the injured.
Yeah. One of the things that occurred to me with it that would be really quite entertaining is a situation where you have this space ambulance crew that they're out, they're doing things, they pick up a signal. Clearly, it's a little bit garbled, so the ship's been damaged because it's not the quite standard SOS, but it's a strong, repeating, simple signal.
Mm-hmm.
They get there. It's an alien ship.
Interesting.
It's fucked. So you have a first contact situation of people are injured and freaking out and their ship's damaged and... How do we help them? How
the hospital do we communicate that's turned with up them? Has no idea how to communicate and they don't have the correct gear.
Atmosphere.
Mm.
What do we do?
Gravity.
Yeah.
Mm.
If people are leaking, we can probably plug the leaks, but if you want drugs, yeah, we've probably got a shit ton of poisons.
And it's kind of a fraught situation to have a first contact thing in.
Absolutely. Taz had suggested this on a web forum,
mm-hmm.
and one of my thoughts had come around to, if you're using bulldogs for this, the notion of a foul-mouthed, cigar-smoking, Urseminite doctor kind of gets into the head and stays there.
It kind of does, although I do find myself wondering what Urseminite would have the concentration span for medical school.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
Who else is now imagining a 3-foot-tall Dr. Gregory House?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or Bones from Star Trek, actually.
I was imagining the Doctor from Battlestar Galactica, but yeah.
There's an archetype involved.
Mm. Yes. Grumpy. Really grumpy.
It fits.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so what was the next one?
All right, the other one. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I would actually like to play in that game. The Space Medic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of has a nice way of stitching things together to get the players to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then throw the space zombies or corporate espionage or first contact situation or...
Whatever you like, really. Monster of the week.
Ship that's sending out a distress signal because they've managed to have some kind of horrifying jump space accident and their ship is now fused with an alien ship. Shades of World War 2.0, I grant you, but...
Also Farscape.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to make riffs on various things, you could also have the issue of if... You're getting paid a finder's fee by the insurance companies. So you have ships without insurance.
What do you do with them?
Mm.
I mean, that would rapidly leak the fun out of the situation, really. But it's a thing that could be looked at.
To a certain extent, it depends on which country's medical service model you are running with.
Or insurance.
We help model. You, but we charge you afterwards. Or we don't help you at all. Or we kind of amortize it.
We are space socialists.
Yeah, we
get sensible then.
Yeah, we get paid by the relevant authorities for this sector regardless.
A certain mercenary attitude does crop up in role-playing games, typically. I don't know exactly why, whether it makes for better motivation for characters.
It makes for higher tension, which makes for better games. It makes for better stories to tell. It's not a nice way to live, but it's a... It makes for more interesting stories.
All right, so shall I do the Goblin Paradise one?
Yes, please.
Okay. I have to shamefully admit that I went full tilt for Amish Paradise. I just couldn't resist the visuals.
Good. But somebody had to.
But I also tossed in the premise of The Navigator, A Medieval Odyssey, to explain how this came to pass. The story to be told is of a tribe of goblins that escape the wrath of bloodthirsty adventurers by digging an escape tunnel that takes them to modern-day Pennsylvania. Of course, the peace-loving Amish people take them and introduce them to their religion and culture. In the beginning, it's a goblin paradise. They can walk the surface, work the land, live in peace, and are actually treated as equals in the Amish community. Of course, that dream can't last forever. Eventually, the goblins will either discover the outside world, or the outside world will discover them.
Okay.
I'm charmed by the idea of the PCs being non-violent, low-tech goblins, having to deal with the modern world full of human con men, zealots, pesky reporters, social activists, and scientist types. While it would certainly be played for laughs, it would also be a good springboard for telling a number of stories about social issues as seen through the goblin lens. Besides the stories that you could tell of interacting with the Amish and modern worlds, I imagine that the climax of the story arc would be what happens when the previously mentioned bloodthirsty adventurers come through the tunnel looking for that goblin gold and XP. Will they pick up their abandoned weapons or seek a different solution? I'm currently in the honeymoon phase with Fate Accelerated Edition, so I see FAE as being an easy fit for Goblin Paradise. The use of approaches rather than hard skill points and classes would be good for storytelling, and those fate points are always great for compelling goblin nature, especially when it conflicts with Amish or modern values.
Interesting.
One thing that I would leave open is magic and if it works, perhaps leaving it in the hands of the players. It's a double-edged sword, since if magic exists, that means the bloody adventurers might have their magic as well. It might be a hoot if a goblin shaman converts to Christianity but can still tap divine magic. The power of Christ compels you! How would the Amish elders react to that? Is it witchcraft or a miracle?
Also, if you've got a paladin that's come through looking for goblin scalps, then they're calling down holy fire. And it hits a paladin and works, that kind of would cause a certain amount of self-rediscovery in the adventuring party, I'm sure.
Including where are my toes?
With that too. Although it is sounding very much like the players would be goblins rather than...
Yes.
No, that sounds like a really intriguing story. The idea of your usually confused and chaotic goblins trying to integrate into a new society that actually accepts them.
That and just the image of large-headed, small-bodied, large-eared goblins wearing black hats with holes cut to the ears to stick through. And collared shirts, waistcoats, you know, doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
Depending on the scale, a little half-sized horse and buggy.
Have to breed miniature horses on purpose.
Or just use buggy.
Well, there are such things as miniature ponies.
Mm.
Miniature horses. 2.5 feet tall at the shoulder.
So it's not just something they photoshop into petting zoos?
No, there was, when I was a kid, the farm across the way had miniature horses. Vicious bloody things. It's like they knew there was a stallion in there waiting to get out, and all these big things were in the way and were hogging all the apples.
Well, I suspect from the point of view of a miniature horse, everything you're interested in is inconveniently far away.
Yeah.
And for a non-miniature horse, an apple tree is a rich source of apples. For a miniature horse, it's a thing you kick until the fucking thing falls over and you can eat the apples.
Reminds me of a wombat I saw at a petting zoo once.
Okay.
Well,
it's an interesting choice for a petting zoo.
Wombats being nature's bulldozers. It was very calm, very mellow thing, surrounded by baying kids, and Wombat gave precisely zero fucks. So it's just a, I am going to trundle towards where my food is. You're going to get out of the way one way or the other. Trundle, 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 crunch, trundle, 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 trundle.
Gently shove the kids out of the way because it was not really paying attention to
I'm just going to walk forward. You are an inconvenient, multicoloured fog.
Shove. Yeah, I mean, this. The goblin parrot, you know, the Amish goblins thing.
I'm glad somebody went there.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to do it, so yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good take on it. And actually, the reference to the Navigator being a Vincent Price. Oh, a Vincent Ward film, not Vincent Price. A Vincent Price version would be interesting.
Oh, my, yes.
made in New Zealand is a really interesting time. And I'm glad.
Indeed. People digging a hole through the earth and coming up in Wellington in the 1980s.
Indeed.
Who knew?
Well, one of my thoughts with it was that you've got the whole issue of Amish culture surrounded by the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if various members of the Amish community talked to the goblins and figured out where they came from and said, what if that world was better suited for us and our culture than the modern world?
Mm-hmm. It's actually bringing the Amish culture through to...
Yeah, the fantasy world.
Ooh. Through to magic land.
Yeah.
They are generally pastoral, pre-industrial paradises, except for all the monsters and adventurers.
So apart from all the role-playing elements,
yes.
they're actually fantastic environments.
Oh, yeah.
Is it just me, or does this hobby not really say good things about us? Anyway, I'm quite liking the do-you-pick-up-your-swords or axes or poisoned arrows aspect again. That kind of grabs me. from a scenario point of view.
Although it does mean that as a GM, you've got to at least have a vague idea of two separate games. Because there's the game where, as converts, you cleave to your new life.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's the game where you move away from the whole turning the other cheek thing in order to defend the people who took you in. It's very different.
It depends. Depends on the take, the options you choose, because you might just lead them on a wild goose chase to the corner of the edge of the county where the ATF can take care of them.
Ouch.
Yeah, just quietly lead them through every nightmare and horror that the modern world possesses.
Especially the ones with automatic weapons and licenses to use them on weirdos.
And just scary things.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have the choice of luring them into a forest or luring them
onto a motorway.
Yeah, onto a 12 lane in each direction interstate, choose the interstate. Scare the living boo out of them. And
nice.
To a certain extent, it's reminding me of the
Village
Dungeon Monsters Guide.
Yeah.
At least if they took that approach.
Yeah, for those who haven't run into it, the Dungeon Monsters Guide was a module I came up with for Monsters and Other Childish Things, where the players were kids at a town whose entire economic function was to sell shit to adventurers going into the local dungeon, and what happened when, because of stuff the kids did, all the monsters were hiding, and so you had kids and monsters working together to fake the existence of a working dungeon ecology so that adventurers would come and spend money in the town.
It was fun.
Good.
It was.
Mm. Is that currently up in our resource section? Is it likely to be?
Possibly at some point.
Yay! Okay, well, thanks again, Taz, for your wonderful ideas, and yay, we like them.
Yay!
Yes.
I especially like the idea of goblins and Amish get-up. That's just hilarious. Barn raising, where you've got people hauling on ropes and goblins kind of trying to do their best and hanging off ropes, but they really don't weigh much more than a cat. And they are about as much use when hoisting up the side of a barn.
I'm sure they'll have other special qualities that they can make use of.
True.
Also be probably fashioning fake beards. Depending on how much facial hair turns up in the goblin strain in question.
That would, yeah, if you were running it as a much more comedic game, I mean, if you wanted to go comedy and then suddenly darken it up with the arrival of the adventurers, yeah.
You could take it as a comedy game and then go all Home Alone on the adventurers.
That would be awesome.
And you could do the bit. John Renault was in a film about a French film. I can't remember what it was called, like Travellers or something, where a medieval knight and his batman turned up in the middle of modern day France. And
seen that.
Your name, yeah.
And
can't remember the name of it, so show notes.
Yeah. So it could be that sort of across between that and Home Alone, where these the goblins lead you with a little bit of foreknowledge and acclimatization, leading through merry hell, just trying to and possibly, you know, traumatize them to the extent where they want the goblins to protect them too.
It almost might be possible to do it within an Amish ethos as well. Is it you've got traps and Home Alone shenanigans? It's just that you've got enough signposting of please leave us alone, and then providing all sorts of alternatives to running through the traps. If they run through the traps, so, no one can say they weren't warned.
So be it.
We have done everything in our power not to hurt you. And indeed, we're not directly hurting you. But we're setting up the circumstance where you can hurt yourself and warning you that it's going to happen.
Yeah. Here endeth the lesson.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether you'd go with a very narrative system to get free-flowing, or whether you would go with something with a bit of crunch to it.
Most crunchy systems are entirely arranged around combat, which might shape the game too much. Maybe.
True.
Yeah.
I think Taz is right that Fae might be the way to go, because that gives you more scope for lots of things that you can do, because what counts is who you are as a person rather than
in the way
you what your things. Numbers are.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I got nothing else.
Okay. Thank you, Taz. That was awesome.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to HOARDE.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from CreativeCommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at Krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!